Today on the show, old school media is officially dead, and I can prove it. I went down a really scary roller coaster and thought I was going to die. Plus, the Avatar The Last Airbender series is terrible. I was right. All that and more on 20th Century Boy, the show that uses toilet paper for dog toilet paper. To 20th Century Boy, my name is Rollercoaster Mike, and this is the inside of my mind. Welcome to another episode. Okay, of course my name is Radio Mike. This podcast is 20th Century Boy, the conversations you wish you were having about the stuff that no one else cares about. Every week I start with a different name. Generally it's RM themed for Radio Mike. If you're a long time listener, you know all this stuff, but I'm always conscious that this might be someone's first episode. And if you are a long time listener as well, you might notice my voice is really straining at the moment, and there's a good reason for that. If you're a new listener, welcome. I'm Radio Mike, writer and producer from here in Australia, just making his way through life and doing this podcast, okay? This is a weekly one-sided podcast between me, Mike, and you. Insert your name here. You can't respond in real time, like in a real conversation, but you can get in touch at any point. You will find me on the internet. Just type in Radio Mike. We are at that point where typing in Radio Mike now generates more pictures of me than of just microphones, which is good. My voice is straining a lot. Here's why, and I will get into all of this throughout the show, but over the weekend, I went on a weekend away in the Gold Coast, and I went on a bunch of roller coasters, and I'm horrified of roller coasters. We'll come back to this, and was screaming my lungs out for most of the weekend, absolutely screaming in peril. Then I got back on Sunday. I went to work on Monday. I've been so go this week, and I've been so busy. And then I went to Blink-182 again. Don't worry, I'm not going to do another episode where I talk about how good Blink-182 was, but let's just say it was really good the second night as well, but I was screaming my lungs out. Then today, I've already recorded Pat and Mike, our Patreon show, patreon.com/RadioMike. Go get the Pat and Mike show, as well as the movie club for February, which will actually be coming out on the 1st of March because this episode drops on the 29th of Feb. Oh boy. It's a lot. My throat is very sore. I can barely talk. I'm all screamed out. The movie club this month is Her, the 2013 movie about a man who falls in love with his computer. Did a great bonus ep with Pat, so you can hear that on the 1st of March, which is the day after this episode comes out. But yeah, that's basically what I've been up to. Hey, here's a thing that might confuse long-term listeners but probably won't confuse new listeners. This will be the first episode in the history of the podcast where the naming convention is different. This is a huge, huge deal. Not really, but the episodes of this podcast, for a reason I actually can't even really explain, but when I started this podcast, the first episode I think was called Who the Hell is Radio Mike? It was 6 years ago. It was a very different me. It was a long time ago, very different show. And because of that, I just used that naming format for every single episode. So every episode is like, what the hell is this? Who the hell is this? How the hell is this? Where the hell is this? Blah, blah, blah. There was never a reason behind that. It just stuck. And here's the thing. I've been doing a lot of thinking about content and podcasting and growing this feed and everything like that. And I don't know, there's no reason we do that. And I'm not against doing that as the title, but I just think in today's world, you've got to make your titles more catchy and clickbaity. I also do it in all caps with the what the hell. And when I look at it, it kind of looks like you're just being yelled at. So the title will be different in this ep and eps moving forward. I hope that doesn't turn people off. Everything changes, and sometimes I'm stuck to doing something and I'm like, well, I've just always done this. Why would I change it? And there are lots of good reasons for change. And I think sometimes you've got to let go of that ego that's like, this is just how it's always been. We're not changing it. And I think this is the time. So the titling of the podcast is going to change moving forward. Sorry, not sorry. I hope you guys are okay with that and not too taken aback with it. I don't imagine it will be too back-taking, but I think you guys will manage. But send any complaints to Pat, this show's producer. That's probably the biggest, the biggest general change to the pod. We're also, it doesn't matter. Look, whatever, who cares? I did say over the weekend I went to the Gold Coast and we went to Movie World, Wet n Wild, SeaWorld with my brother and my cousin and our partners. Had a really fun weekend. I now do a blog, a fortnightly blog on Substack, link in the description to this pod, radiomike.substack.com. If you want a fortnightly read, they're like 5 minute little articles, generally with humor and messaging. I really enjoying it and people have been getting around it. So I appreciate it. Did a blog this week, that's up now about how I link roller coasters to my anxiety issues over the years. So would love for you to check that out and have a read of it. Again, link in bio. But I do want to talk loosely about that as well here. In the Gold Coast, I'm scared of roller coasters. I'm scared of rides. I'm really scared of heights. Don't know where it originates, but I have always been extremely scared of being up high. I remember being a kid and going on even like the kiddie roller coasters and feeling really scared, not thinking it was pleasant. Like I didn't enjoy the sensation of being on a roller coaster, which I think is totally fair. It's a scary thing. But like I come from a family of people who love them, so I really wanted to enjoy them. And you know, my brother invited us up to go to Movie World and go on these roller coasters, and I just took a leap of faith and went on all of them. And went on this, it's a hypercoaster. I've learned that like hypercoasters, I think, are above 60 meters high, and then giga coasters are above 100 meters high, which is insanity, right? We don't have any giga coasters in Australia, but we do have a hypercoaster. It's at Movie World and it's, I think, 63 meters high. It's very high. It's themed to DC and the Joker, and it's extremely scary. And the experience in my body before going on this ride is like I'm having a panic attack. Like my body's like, don't do this. Why are you doing this? This is scary. And I went on it. And it was the most terrific thing I've ever done in my life, but it was also really fun. And, you know, go and read the article for more. But I do want to put it out there. I think we have done this in the past because I do vaguely remember telling the story of when my nonna went to Movie World and went on the Scooby-Doo spooky coaster and just like it was such a shock to her system. But I do want to know, what's the best ride you have ever been on? What is the best ride or roller coaster or whatever that you have ever been on? Ride it in. I want to know. And like if there's one you've been in like internationally, that was just amazing, let me know. Because I do find rides quite interesting. As I said, Blink-182 was great, but I did get a bit of correspondence from a listener, Radio Lauren. Thank you for writing in over on Instagram. And she said, hey, Mike, I really liked that segment the other day. Something like 5 moderately interesting things. I thought it was really funny. Now, this was a segment that I first debuted, it's only happened 2 times on the show. I debuted it when I went to Europe. After I came back, I did 5 mildly interesting things that happened to me since we last spoke. Didn't think it would ever return in the show. But then I did it again, I think, on the first ep of the year this year, where I was like 5 mildly interesting things that happened over the summer. And this one piece of feedback about the segment has inspired me to bring it back for the third time. So for the third time ever, I'd like to do 5 mildly interesting things that have happened while I was in the Gold Coast. 5 mildly interesting things that have happened since we last spoke. I love that snazzy jazz bit. It's really good. It really sets the tone. 5 mildly interesting things that happened since we last spoke. I'm not changing the opener, but it is since I returned from the Gold Coast, right? And just wondering if that's going to keep going. It probably will, but I've got a little restart for it. So let's just do this. Number 5. So we were on the plane flying to the Gold Coast, and we were sitting next to this British guy. And I just started talking to him, as I do. Lovely guy. Can't remember his name. I think it could have been Kieran, but don't quote me on that. And I was obviously like, oh, like, you're obviously from the UK. Like, where are you from? And he was like, I'm from here. And I was like, that's really cool. And then he turned to me and said, "Where's your accent from?" To which I responded, my accent is from Melbourne in Australia where I live. And he was like, "Oh, okay, your accent's very deliberate." And I said, "What do you mean?" He just said, "Oh, you just have a very interesting way of speaking." And then Claire goes, "Yeah, that's because he's a private school posh boy." Now, I'm going to be honest, and I understand that this is showing maybe my total lack of awareness of the world, but I'm not trying to speak in a particular way. This is just how I speak, okay? I don't know, and I never realized that I emit ideas of privilege in the way that I speak, but I acknowledge that, right? I got a good education at a good school, but I never knew that people hear my voice and go, "Oh, this guy speaks weird," right? Well, I guess I kind of did, but I don't know. Can anyone give me vague feedback on that? How do I sound to other Australians listening and to other to anyone international listening? How do I sound? Do I sound posh? I'm not trying to. Like, I feel like I had a pretty... I'm not trying to sound posh. Like, let's just put it that way. Okay, number four. Okay, number four, this is also a language-related thing, and maybe this is, like, the opposite of me being really posh, but the first night me and Claire stayed in this hotel before meeting the others, it was Thursday night, and I had a meeting in the morning, and so we asked if I could check out a little bit later. And I guess the message didn't get passed on to, like, the cleaners, because the cleaner knocked on our door and she just went, "Oi," this is at a hotel, like a good hotel. "Oi, you guys checking out today or what?" Right? And I didn't even, like, maybe that's the opposite of how I speak, because I didn't really know how to even respond to it. And I kept going to Claire like, "Yeah, no, we's guys is not checking out today, thank you." And it was just like the most bogan voice I've ever had, which is probably unsurprising for Queensland. But anyway, number three, we've already done number four. Number four. So we were in the line at Movie World for the Roadrunner roller coaster, which is like the junior kids roller coaster, which admittedly, when I was a kid, I thought was so scary. And now it looks like a Lego toy, you know? And we were in line with like the funniest kid of all time. Just this little kid, admittedly like a little bit chubby, which is irrelevant, but I just thought it was cute. And he just started talking to us in the line. And he was like, "I've been on 7 times. And I was like, "Have you been on 7 times? He's like, "Yeah, I've just been finishing and then I lined straight back up. This is my 8th time. I was like, "You've been on 8 times. Do you like it?" He's like, "I love it. It's my favorite ride of all time." This is actually how he spoke, is why I found it so funny. I'm like, "So do you not get scared?" He was like maybe 8 or 9 years old. I was like, "Nah, I don't get scared. It's my favorite ride. Actually, did you know the back is scarier than the front?" I was like, "Is it really?" He's like, "Yep. Back scarier than the front. I'm going to go on the back." And I was like, "Oh, cool, man. We're going to go at the front." So then we went in the front and then I heard him behind us being like, "Actually, I'm going to go second," which to me implies that he got too scared to go at the back. And he's like, "I'm going to go in the second row." And I was like, "Yeah, no worries, mate." Anyway, we go on the ride, which lasts for like a minute. And then we're like walking out. We're like really tired for the day. We're like walking to some other ride. And he just sprints past up and he's like, "I'm lining up again." And I was like, "You go, mate. You go line up again. You go on the ride again." It was really funny. Anyway, number two. I really like this segment. It really helps chug the podcast along. Realize that my brother is like has... not an unhealthy obsession, but an above average obsession with roller coasters. Like I knew my brother was into rides, but I realize he's like really into them. Like he really likes rides and roller coasters. And like, you'd be like, "Oh, what's the tallest roller coaster in the world?" He'd be like, "Oh, it's this one. It's at this park in this country and blah, blah, blah." Like, "What's the longest?" "Oh, this one." And then like, we'd get to the Airbnb and he'd put on reviews of roller coasters on YouTube. And like, don't get me wrong, as you all know, I'm into like crazy stuff and I get obsessed with it. So I guess my brother has that same thing, but specifically for roller coasters. He's like, yeah, I'm going to watch a review of the Leviathan, the new roller coaster at SeaWorld. And he'll put it on and like make us all watch it on the TV, which we enjoyed, by the way. But he just knows everything with roller coasters. And I found out his partner doesn't really even like roller coasters at all, but like every time they go traveling, they come back and like my brother tells stories about how they went to like Universal or all these theme parks and stuff, and he talks about all the rides. Didn't realize his partner just like doesn't go on them and lets him go on them, and she just waits for him. Like that is commitment to roller coasters when your partner doesn't even like them but you insist on going on. So found that out, did not know that, always learning more. And number one, love that snap. Again, love it. Found out I sleep talk quite prevalently, as Claire has told me. And apparently I say some really wacky shit in my sleep. And I do wacky shit as well. Like I come back from the toilet and I just start ripping all the sheets off the bed and everything like that. And once I like sang the entire song Gangnam Style, but I didn't know the words. So like in the verses, I was just going, like in my sleep, I'm doing that. And she's just like, what is occurring? So learn that about myself. And I guess those are the five mildly interesting things that happened while I was in the Gold Coast. So I hope you enjoyed that, particularly Radio Lauren. That one's for you. But if you do enjoy it, we can bring it back semi-regularly when I do something. Hey, I found out that, well, I didn't find out, but I have a theory. And I'm actually pretty sure I've brought this up before, if you're a long-term listener again. I think this will sound vaguely familiar to you. Of course, one of my favorite shows of all time is The Chase Australia, the trivia show that's on Channel 7 from 5 till 6 p.m. And I love it. It's just pure trivia, and I love trivia. And I just love watching it and answering the questions. Like, if I finish work at 5:30 and I can catch the last half hour of The Chase, it's a good day, okay? And I've definitely talked about this before because there's been a few coincidences, but I think someone who writes questions on The Chase Australia might be a listener of this show. It is a big conspiracy, and to be honest, it probably is just a wild coincidence. Also, not even that wild, but like, hear me out. Of course, over the last few weeks on this show, I've been talking heaps about how, like, at the start of the year, it's weaned off, by the way, but I was obsessed with Yu-Gi-Oh! And I was reading the Yu-Gi-Oh! Manga. I was watching Yu-Gi-Oh! GX, the anime. I'm just a nerd and I do this shit. I get obsessed with something and then I go all in for like 5 days and then I'm out again. But Yu-Gi-Oh! Was special because it lasted like 3 weeks, right? And I just go all in. Talking a lot about it on my podcast. And I genuinely think, like, aside from my podcast, I genuinely do not think Yu-Gi-Oh! Has been in the public consciousness in any way at all in the last 15 years. Like, no one would just be thinking about it other than me and you, the listener, because you hear me talk shit about it, right? Was watching The Chase Australia last night. What do I hear but this? I've given a lead-in question just so it's not abrupt, but just take a listen to the second question here.
Polis was a city-state in which ancient civilization?
Greece.
Correct. Which TV anime franchise features the character Yugi Muto?
Yu-Gi-Oh.
Correct.
I'm sorry, and again, it almost certainly is a massive coincidence, but it does feel a little bit, I don't know. I just don't think it's that big that it could have just been a random question someone came up with. I think my theory is someone listens to this show, heard me talking about it, and then wrote that question. It's a wild theory. And there are so many questions on that show that it's like, I guess it is such a huge possibility that like they're just covering so much stuff that inevitably something I've talked about comes up. But I'm certain that there was, if anyone remembers, it must have been last year or the year before, I was talking about like how I was talking about something on the show, and then like a few months later, it was a question. There were like two questions on the Chase Australia that were like something I'd talked about on the show. I really do think someone listens to the show and writes question. It's not out of the realm of possibility. Also, did you catch them saying Yu-Gi-Oh instead of Yu-Gi-Oh? I would have counted that as an incorrect answer. Larry Emder, the host, counted it as correct. I would say it's incorrect because it's not Yu-Gi-Oh. It's Yu-Gi-Oh. Also, I'm not sure if his name is Yugi Muto. For some reason, I always thought it was Yugi Moto, but I could be completely wrong on that. Also, another factual inconsistency, they do say it's an anime series, which it is, but it definitely started as a manga. So, you know, hey, I'm not an auditor on the Chase Australia, but there was a lot wrong with that. Just think it's interesting, loosely speaking. I've realized that mainstream media is very close to dead. I did tease it in the intro saying it's dead, but I feel like I have some really strong evidence that, I mean, we've all known it for a while, but like radio and TV, but particularly radio, I think are so on their way out and so not as powerful as they were even 10 years ago, especially like 20 years ago, but even 10 years ago. And hear me out, okay? There are some really big stars in Australia in the moment. Taylor Swift was here. Pink, I believe, is currently here. Blink-182 are currently here. Travis Barker is quite big. Kourtney Kardashian is here. She's quite big. I don't know if you know. There are a lot of very famous people in the country at the moment, right? Jacob Elordi was here recently. But here's what I think is interesting. Not a single one of these global celebrities with massive power and influence did any interview, promo, anything with any mainstream media outlet, radio or TV, right? The only one I could find is Pink did like a full-length editorial on 60 Minutes, which is weird, but I guess maybe her demographic would be watching and you get a lot of time. But back in the day when I was growing up, when I was listening to radio, watching TV, if someone was out here promoting something, shows, new album, new movie, whatever, they would do the rounds on every single show. They would be on like Rove Live. They would be on Hamish and Andy in the afternoons. They would be on The Project. They'd do all the breakfast show. They would be going to all of these mainstream outlets to get their message out there for PR, for publicity, to get like to connect with their audiences and connect to people and sell their shows, right? All these people now in 2024 don't even bother. Like, the thing is, when I went down to the MCG last week when Taylor Swift was performing, Fox FM, Nova and Kiss, the three big pop stations in Australia, in Melbourne, were all down there. They had to be down at the MCG with the hopes of maybe getting a glimpse of Taylor Swift because there is just no way Taylor Swift is going to go on their shows. Right? Because their influence and their power just isn't there anymore. And these artists are better off just going directly to their fans via social media. When Blink-182 came back, they were like, we don't want to do shitty radio interviews and like 2-minute interviews and have stupid questions from people who don't know anything about our band. They did one interview, one publicity thing with Zane Lowe, a music journalist who's really well respected. And then they were like, then they've done pretty much nothing else, like essentially nothing else, except like Travis has done some podcast interviews with like Rick Rubin on his podcast because they're friends and other friends of his, but no like formal media. And I mean, I don't want to sound like a dick, but I quite like it only because I think it's a huge power shift. Like they don't need these outlets anymore, which does force these shows to be more creative with how they cover kind of these things. But it also just to me shows that like, yeah, these traditional media outlets have been losing power and losing influence for a while. And it is really starting to show now. When you can't get Pink to go into Fox FM or you can't get Blink-182 to do an interview on Triple M or, you know, anything like that, to me, that's like a really big sign. Because back in the day, like when I started at Fox, when I was working at Fox and Triple M, we like, this was in 2017, I started there, and we were getting some, like, even then there were like big names coming through. I remember Al Gore, like Al Gore, the politician, came in on Hamish and Andy. Paris Jackson, Michael Jackson's daughter. He was a pedophile, by the way. Like Rivers Cuomo from like the entirety of Weezer. All these like international celebrities, I guess. And now they like people would have killed to get Kourtney Kardashian on their show. She's in Melbourne, but they can't get her to appear on the show. They can't even get her on the phone because they're probably just like, why? Who cares? Like the publicists are like, why would we care about your show? Why? Kourtney Kardashian can reach more people than you and your radio show on her Instagram by just doing a story that she gets to control the narrative of. Why would we get her to go on your show? I think it's really interesting. It's a really interesting shift in this industry and where this industry is headed. And yeah, to me, it's just like something to keep an eye on because I have a feeling, you know, in the future, in the next 5 years, it's going to change even more. And that's why, like, again, for me, and I rave about this every few months, but like, I grew up listening to punk rock music. The ethos of punk rock is like DIY, do it yourself, make it yourself, do everything on your own. You don't need the man, all that shit, right? And, you know, I've quoted it before on this show, but Tom DeLonge from Blink has this fantastic quote about punk rock. I'll try and dig it up and put it in here, but if I don't, I'll find it.
The whole punk rock thing has nothing to do with music at all. And I think kids miss that point entirely. It has to do with the transformation of being one of the group to an individual and having the balls to say what you want to say, do what you want to do, and follow the path that seems fit, you know?
And like, I always feel like that's what I'm trying to do is just do my own thing. I'm just trying to do my own thing over here, right? I'm just trying to make my own stuff. I'm trying to make what I believe in and I'm trying to foster an audience and I've got an audience and that's cool. And I don't necessarily, like, I don't need a big podcast company to make my podcast because I can do everything they can do and I can do it by myself. And I do it by myself, right? The only avenues I don't really have is like the sales and publicity and everything like that. But all the production side I can manage all by myself with Pat, producer as well, who's like friend of the show and we love Pat. But yeah, generally speaking, I don't need that team. And that's kind of what I feel when I think about radio shows and big media systems that, you know, they're using their avenues to get all the scoops and to get everything. But now it's harder for them. And I find that very, very interesting. Okay, two more things before we wrap today. And make sure you check out the YouTube channel for more content during the week and the blog, but I'll do the plug at the end. One thing that came to my attention this week is from a new episode of The Simpsons. I've talked so much about The Simpsons on this show over the years, and The Simpsons is like one of my favorite shows of all time, as you know, especially the golden age. But, you know, I still watch the new episodes. They just automatically download onto my Plex. So I just watch them. It's more of a comfort thing. The quality is whatever, but like I still like the characters and the franchise and everything. I think The Simpsons does some great stuff still to this day. And obviously people always critique and complain about the quality of the show dipping, but it's a different show now in its like 34th year than it was in its fifth year. Like that's just it. I would classify it as just a different show. And obviously enough people still watch the show for it to be profitable. And The Simpsons as a franchise, I've said this before, it will never die. Even when the voice actors die, it will continue. It's just too profitable. Like, think about the merchandise, the show, any video games, any kind of toys, anything associated with that show. The characters themselves, like, a brand could pay, like, I don't know if this has ever happened, but a brand could be like, we will pay you like $500 million for Homer Simpson to like drink a Pepsi and be in our ad to use that character, right? There's just so much potential for money in The Simpsons. Where I think their sweet spot is like their parodies. I don't even necessarily think they need to be a show. I think they just need to be like the Looney Tunes or the Muppets or I'm trying to think of like other like legacy characters that are like known in pop culture, but they don't, as far as I know, they're not like, they're always trying to do new stuff with them, but like it doesn't always work and they just sort of are known characters, which I think The Simpsons are at. Did get sent this on Twitter the other day, or X, where The Simpsons did a Mario Kart parody on one of the new episodes, which was really, really funny.
It's me, Lisa Mario.
It's me, Wario. My bad parodying is a letter to your doom.
They've got Lisa as Mario. They're all on Rainbow Road. Milhouse is Yoshi. And then Homer comes along and he's Wario, which is really funny hearing Dan Castellaneta, aka Homer, doing a Wario impression. Ends up being a nightmare that Homer's having. But I just think it's really cool for me personally when you see like two of your favorite things kind of cross over in a way. Like when The Simpsons goes, like does like a Nintendo parody, because I love both of those things and now they're like connected. And also I think seeing The Simpsons doing parodies, like I always loved the Treehouse of Horrors in The Simpsons, because they were just parodies that were really great satire of like the original like movies they were based on, whether it was like Nightmare on Elm Street, The Shining, you know, recently they've done like Paranormal Activity. They did Death Note. I would love to see The Simpsons just doing parodies of movies and TV shows and stuff. I would love to see them like do a better Harry Potter parody, because they did a Harry Potter parody ages ago in a Treehouse of Horror, but it was kind of like before Harry Potter was like massive. It was still like in its sort of formative years. So it was more just like a loose magic school kind of parody that wasn't as on point. Like I remember when Family Guy did those Star Wars parodies, and at some points they were like beat for beat recreations of the original Star Wars movies with like that Family Guy style humor. I would love to see one of those shows tackle it with Harry Potter. I think that would be so good and so funny. But I just think The Simpsons, like, even if you don't watch the episodes, like I think they could do, I think content-wise, they could do more with like tackling different properties and doing different parodies of things and being more present online, because I feel like I don't see much from them in terms of like their general media, I don't know, presence outside of just the show. Like I talked a few weeks ago, they need to do another video game. They need to be in that space. They need to make another Simpsons game. You know, they could probably do a spin-off of The Simpsons now. They probably could do so many things, but it just feels like it's just sort of like, you know, a gear kind of spinning that spins and makes money. So they're like, whatever, this makes money. Until it stops making money, we just won't do it. I do think the show will eventually end in its current form, and I think that will happen when one of the main voice actors dies. But that being said, it might not. I know they'll recast the voice actors. I just think it would be good for The Simpsons to have a proper finale, like at some point, before one of the main cast members dies. Because, you know, Harry Shearer is like in his 80s, I'm pretty sure. Nancy Cartwright is nearly 70. Like, they're all pretty old. So, yeah. One thing I actually learned over the weekend, or last weekend, Sabrina Carpenter, who opened for Taylor Swift at her concerts, is Nancy Cartwright's niece. The Nancy Cartwright, aka Bart Simpson's niece. Just a little factoid for you. Pretty interesting. Final thing for today's app, though. Recently, I spoke about how the Avatar The Last Airbender live-action Netflix adaptation, that's a big jumble of words, was not going to work. I thought it was going to be, like, average at best and people wouldn't really like it. And actually put it up on YouTube as a video, as, like, a clip from this show, and it got downvoted to oblivion. People hated the idea that something they were excited for, someone could have had the gumption to say, this might not be good and it probably won't be. Anyway, in recent news, the show is out and it did get really, really mixed reviews and most people are like, yeah, it's not that good, right? So I was right. I was right about Avatar. All those people who downvoted me and wanted it to be good so bad that they just couldn't hack someone saying it probably won't be that good. Hey, welcome back to my channel. Welcome back to my podcast, right? It's like, it's phenomenal to me that people are so protective of these things. Like, you want something to be good so much that you just blindside yourself into being like, no, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And then it comes out and it's like, hey, it's not that good. I actually did watch the first episode today. And I got to say, it is nowhere near as bad as the M. Night Shyamalan one. It's actually like, it's way better than the M. Night Shyamalan one. It's still not amazing. And it is all the things that I said were going to be the problem, okay? It's, again, taking this cartoony animated world that's a little bit silly, like most cartoons are, bringing it into live action. It's just hard to translate that cartoony animated joy into live action, particularly because they always try to go for this gritty, dark kind of thing to appeal to maybe a more adult audience because they're spending so much money on it. And it just doesn't work. You just lose a lot of the charm. And I definitely see that. Whoever is playing Aang, the main character, I think that's the hardest role to cast, admittedly, because the voice actor like had so much goofy charm, but you can't do it like that in live action. That's what I think people don't realize is like, there's so much suspension of disbelief in animation. You couldn't do that voice of Aang, that style of talking, that like overexcited animated goofiness, and do it live action. It wouldn't work. And it doesn't. And they've clearly told this actor that, and he's just very flat. He's young. And that's another thing. Having children in the lead roles, children just aren't as experienced as actors, and you can sort of see through them a lot. I'll tell you what vibes it did give me, which I didn't mind. And again, I didn't mind it. I'll probably keep watching it. It gave me first Harry Potter movie vibes. It felt like family fun and like the acting isn't great, but you kind of look past it because you know the story and want to see it adapted in that way. In which case, I don't think it's terrible, but I don't think there will ever be a phenomenal or an amazing live action adaptation of this show because I just don't think it's possible to do that with animation to live action. A lot of people said, oh, did you watch the One Piece live action adaptation on Netflix? They did an adaptation of the One Piece anime, which is a very goofy anime, and they went full goof mode in the live action. I did watch a bit of it and I actually thought it was good, as most people were saying, using it as a comparing point, be like, no, they've done it before and they've done it well. I thought it was fine, but here's the thing. I did think it was all right. Again, they leaned into the wackiness and it did work for a show like that, but yeah, I mean, if I had to do a tier list of Avatar-related stuff I've seen, it's the original cartoon, then this Netflix live action, and then very far down, it's the M. Night Shyamalan one. So to everyone who said I was wrong and I was stupid, who's laughing now? It's me. Ha ha ha. You were wrong. I was right. I had to say this. Those are my thoughts on Avatar, the live action series. I will continue to watch it and maybe I'll give updates, but yeah, those are my thoughts. I think that's just about it for this week's ep, so let's wrap with one of these. The plug! There is heaps of content on the YouTube channel. There are shorts going up every day on YouTube, TikTok, and everything like that, which is cool. You can also read my blog. All of this is in the description. I'd love for you to subscribe. It'll get emailed to you every 2 weeks. It's just a little, you know, a little thing, little musings and things I've been thinking about. So please definitely check that out. From there, subscribe to the YouTube, please. Share with your friends. Share this stuff with your friends if you can. I did a sketch with Jack Post that people seem to really like. So that's on Jack's Instagram. Go watch that. Blog Harry Potter and the Boys is back. We're back into it. It's really fun. Me and Sammy are meeting each week and recording again, which is really, really cool. And then, of course, the Pat and Mike Show. Look at all this content for you guys. Pat and Mike Show's on Patreon now. It's going to become public soon, but patreon.com/radiomike. Please support the Patreon. I really want to keep growing it. And If you like this show, you get anything out of it, support the Patreon. And of course, Movie Club is out tomorrow. If you are into movies, we're doing Her from 2013. That is about it. My name has been Radio Mike. This has been The Inside of My Mind. I will catch you next week. I'm sorry.